Hi, I'm Anthony. I'm here to talk to you about my experiences in high school and what to expect and what things benefited me from my high school days, what benefited me afterwards. So during my high school years, I was a pretty good student. I was a high B, low A kind of guy, just average. But I skipped a lot of school, not because I was bad, but because I was into the music. I was a drummer and I used to skip school to go record or to make money playing in bands. One thing that I really appreciated from Mrs. Barrington and all those teachers is that they put up with me when I tried a home ec course. I didn't really learn much from it because I was so young, but it gave me the foundation to actually learn how to muck about in the kitchen after high school, make fires, and save myself from burning down the basement suite I was renting. It's pretty scary when you're blind and you smell smoke and you're trying to figure out how to work the fire extinguisher that you have no idea how to use. You just know that something's supposed to come out of it. So that's why takeout's safer. During my high school years, there were a lot of people who were really mean. They used to come around and say, "Hey, where's the washroom?" And I'd be like, "Excuse me," and they'd hit me in the face and do things like that. So I got into tons of fights that way, and I usually ended up in the principal's office because I'd mangle them. But the trick is always try to talk your way out of it, and don't do anything unless they touch you first, because you have to be a peaceful creature to have peaceful friends. Things that benefited me for after high school and university was, I didn't, unlike Donovan, I didn't learn about the work ethic and how to manage my time through high school. And I didn't know about citing sources on essays. Like, I was pretty, in the hole for learning about English, because we had an English department that wasn't very coordinated with themselves, so they taught different things. I learned lots of my life skills through the Army Cadet program. I'm sure you guys are thinking, "Holy smokes, you're blind." I remember teachers laughing at me because they're like, "You want to join the Army? You're in the Army Cadets? What are you going to do?" Now, I work at the New Westminster Armories as an instructor, and we're trying to petition for me to get a Queen's Commission to become a second lieutenant.
Yes.
So at the Armories, I teach, just like how they taught me back in my high school days, I teach leadership, principles of shooting, drill, dress and deportment. So that's ironing your pants, polishing your boots, making sure your hat's 2.5 inches on this side high and 2 inches on this side above your eyebrows. All those little things. All your buttons are in the right angles. All that type of stuff. I'm not sure if you know this, but as a hobby, I go shooting. I learned this in high school about being a marksman. So now on the weekends, I go shooting with my friends, and I was one shot short and a percentage off from becoming a marksman in my grade 11th year. Things that surprised me, or things that I wish I had done, which surprised me because I thought I didn't need them during my high school days, was tourism. I wish I took the tourism course and got my super host qualification and my bartending qualification and the food safe qualification. You get all that stuff for free when you're in high school. And if you're good at talking, those things, you may not be able to do them, let's say, be a bartender at a bar, but having those things under your belt is a great way to get a part-time job or something that you can work at and advance in so you can pay for university and not have to rely on student loans. Because, we're blind, but still, we can find things to make us more appealing to the job market. That's the big problem now, is that people discriminate against you and find some reason not to hire you, but the real reason is because they're discriminating. I'm very good at what I do at call centers. I did a practicum at the Visa Center for Royal Bank in 2003 for a short period of time. And when I tried applying for Panago to take orders, not at the pizza place, but at a call center on Guilford, near the Guilford SkyTrain station, the person seemed very enthusiastic to have me because I was very qualified, and they even offered me a team lead position, which means that I help and supervise the people who are at the call center. When he met me face to face and he found that I was blind, he just said, "Oh, we got the position already filled," 2 days later. So how does that go from becoming a team lead to the position is already filled? And there were lots of openings, and 2 weeks later I saw them posting for more positions, more vacancies, because they needed more workers. So you also have to choose your fights, because some things aren't worth it. If they don't want you there and it's not really worth it to you, you don't want to be there. They'll just fire you or make your time very miserable, and you'll spend more time fighting it than actually getting somewhere. Choose your battles and find, you know, a better place or a better opportunity. Another thing that that I wish I took in school was more sewing and home ec. I really wish that I learned all those things, but the thing is, I was too young. I was growing so much and learning about myself and other things around me and discovering new skills and new classes that it's just too much for me to actually learn. So what I had to do is prioritize. I could have taken my Math 12 and learned the graphing calculator and the special two different programs that we have so that we can use a graphing calculator. They both have hotkeys and they take forever to do. And to be able to take the course, you have to be very proficient on those two programs, memorize those two different, all the hotkeys for those two different programs, and then get more than 50% on your provincial. But the problem is, I would run out of time and I wouldn't even get 50% of the exam done. So no matter what, I would fail. And I decided in my grade 11 year that all the time needed to learn all those programs wasn't as important to me as learning how to become a good drummer. Today I'm a session musician and I play for anybody who wants to hire a drummer or who wants to make a band. And I'm trying to make a band that doesn't involve me having to work, where I can do whatever I want, play in bars and sing. I'm actually a singer too, not that bad, but okay. And that's, you know, it's a skill that I can always fall back on. If I don't have a good day job or if I get fired, I just pick up my drumsticks and go travel to any city and listen or go play at an open mic or a venue with an open mic. And if people like me, they approach me, talk to me, and that's how I get myself known. On Sunday, there is an open mic session at the Jazz Cellar where they just have musicians come out. And I'm planning on going there with one of my friends and just seeing what it's like to play with people that we don't even know in Vancouver. It's on Granville. Three things that I can pass on to you guys from my experiences, because I've had a lot of things where I've tried things. I've tried six courses at once in school with no break, high school for grade 10, and I made it through, but I would never ever do it again. I made it through with, you know, 84s, 87s, but still, I would never do it again. No, you know, I need food and I need sleep. So things that I, you know, don't do that unless you have to. But the reason why I did that is so that I could have more time to devote towards music for the next years, and so I could go touring. And also because the Army Cadet thing is pretty demanding, because it takes me 4 hours to get my uniform completed. Just getting my uniform iron creased, starched, and polishing boots. 4 hours at the least, at the minimum. After I graduated from school, I attended Douglas College and Malaspina University College. And I took courses for career planning and trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And then I also took some university courses to learn about communications, marketing, and public relations. And I slowly realized I didn't want to do that. I don't want to be stuck in the office and writing portfolios for the rest of my life. It would kill me. So now I'm the kind of person who likes to go adventuring. I climb rocks, I'm a rock climber, I go mountaineering, I hike. I've tried zip lining. Have you guys ever tried that? It's where you set up a rope that goes diagonally down across like at a slant, and you hook up your harness and you slide. But the problem is when you're blind and you don't survey it right, sometimes the rope goes too low and your legs hit the ground and it really hurts. So, you know, that is the same thing like going to school and maybe taking too many courses or taking the wrong courses and finding out that it's not going to work. So, well, you know, being blind, we have to be more resilient. We have to get back up, and no matter what happens, if you get thrown on the ground, if all your money disappears, you know, you just got to get back up, start again, and keep moving. And because we're blind, it's going to be harder, so we have to be that much better than most people. The third thing that I can pass on to you guys is always listen to what people say who've been there before, like your teachers. But that doesn't mean do what they say. That just means consider it. Always consider it. and be prepared to deal with whatever happens. Because it could hurt a lot. All right, thanks.
How are you going to get a job when you're blind and no one wants you and you want the job that you really like but you can't have it because you're blind?
So how do I get a job if I'm blind and nobody wants to give it to me because I'm blind but I really want it? Well, it depends on two major points. One is, are you able to do it? For example, everyone tells you in elementary school, no matter what, if you set your mind to it, you will win and succeed. But let's say if you want to be a firefighter or a police officer and patrol or go into a burning building, you're blind, so you have to accept the fact that you can't do those kind of things. Or me, I have to accept the fact that I can never be a ground infantryman on the field because I cannot see. But there are other things that are related to those types of jobs. Let's say, for a police officer, you could work at dispatch or work at the desks there, or work as a 911 operator outside of British Columbia. And you can use your skills of speaking, listening, and being more mindful of situations that aren't in front of you. So what you have to do is figure out what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and act as a salesman and sell the employer your strengths. So you may not be able to see, but you must be stronger at other things because of it.